Polybemus was sold for 2 bags of seed to bandits by her family during a time of famine. And she was brought here and auctioned off in San Francisco.
1,000 Pieces of Gold tells the story of Polybemus, starting from when she was Leluna Thoi, born in northern China, and sold by her family to bandits, and then brought to America and auctioned off as a slave, taken up to the mining camps of Idaho, winning her freedom through a poker game, and then ending up with her husband on the River of No Return.
Through a gray haze of cigar smoke, she looked down at the men crowded into the saloon. Bearded demon miners in faded flannel shirts and worn corduroy pants stuffed into heavy, mud-caked boots. Smooth-faced Chinese in traditional blue cotton jackets and pants, or full-sleeved, long-tailed Chinese shirts hanging out over coarse demon trousers. They were all the same, hungry. Like the coyotes she heard howling in the night, and she was their prey.
Warren's Idaho at that time was a mining camp. There were probably a dozen white women to 1,000 white men and another 1,000 Chinese men. And Lulu was the only Chinese woman. She was brought to Warren's for, quote-unquote, the world's oldest profession, but she was saved from it by Charlie Bemis. I think she and Charlie had a very loving relationship. In 1890, Charlie was shot, and it shattered his cheekbone. And Polly took her crochet hook and fished out the fragments.
She worked silently. The crochet hook sank deeper and deeper, but she could not find the bullet. Bits of flesh and splintered bone gleamed whitely on cotton swabs blackened with powder and blood. She packed it with a poultice of herbs and fresh cloths. "Polly's here," she soothed. "You okay?" She cradled him in her arms. He quieted. Dusk deepened into night.
After she married, she and Charlie moved to the Salmon River. People were drawn by her warm hospitality. She was a great cook. You know, we know that she came to consider that home.
In addition to fruits and vegetables, she grew her own wheat and ground her own flour to make bread. The single cow and hens provided all their dairy needs, and she rendered her own grease and made soap from the occasional bear Charlie shot. During the spring, summer, and fall, there were only the occasional prospectors and adventurers Charlie ferried across the river. But in the winter, when the river froze over with huge chunks of ice, ranchers and old friends from Warren's would come. They would stay up all night, getting caught up on news, retelling old stories, playing poker, eating, and drinking whiskey made from her own rye and hops. Then Charlie would bring out his fiddle, and there would be singing and sometimes dancing, and for days their snug, two-storied log cabin would fairly shake from all the laughter and foot stomping.
She and Charlie actually found a cougar cub, and she treated it like a family cat. And she nailed a tin plate on the table so that the cougar could eat when they ate. And visitors were terrified of the cougar. And she was the only person who could handle it. There are a lot of strong women, but she actually survived without being bitter and with her sense of compassion intact.
These women were in some ways the lifeline for supporting their families because they were sewed so that their families can survive. And they sent money home when they could. They have made a contribution to their families and to their communities and to this country that, you know, most people would not be willing to acknowledge.
Birdsong woke Polly. She had arrived too late the night before to see anything more than deep shadows and starlight, but the warm embrace of the canyon walls and the welcoming roar of the salmon had told her she was home.